well, you guys are the committed crowd, right? Because it's really like almost 8 o'clock. So that's what your body's telling you this morning. At least that's what my body's telling me. But my name is Rick. I'm the lead pastor here, and we're continuing this teaching series called Don't Waste Your Life, because it doesn't matter what phase of life that you find yourself in, that nobody wants to look back on a month or 2 months of their life and think, what a waste. I wasted my life. And so for the past several weeks, we've been looking at different ways to live our lives in intentional ways so that we don't waste our life. Today, we're saying don't waste your life living like this.
Ever wonder why you feel the way you do? Well, get to know your emotions. When things go wrong, anger is there. This is anger. He will make sure the world knows anger is in control. But what you really need to watch out for is when he's out of control. Get to know all your emotions with Disney Pixar's Inside.
So that is what we're saying is don't waste your life being angry, right? Don't be that angry person. Nobody likes being around the angry person, right? You have them at your work. In fact, those angry people, they don't even like themselves. You know, they see that come out of them and they hate that about themselves. And so what we're saying is don't waste your life being angry. Instead, resolve your anger. Don't waste your life being angry and letting all those emotions come out in an angry way. Instead, resolve your anger. Here's why. Because we know that when anger, unresolved anger comes out, you are just one letter away from danger. Right? That's what happens. Unresolved anger, it always leads to danger somewhere in our life. And Matthew chapter 5. So take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 21, and we'll see how far we get, but we're going to start out with verse 21. And we want to explore this idea of anger. And let's read a couple of verses, and then we'll go back and we'll talk about this. So Matthew chapter 5, and don't forget this. Don't forget that Jesus has been introducing something new. Remember last week we talked about the law, right? And how Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law. No, he came to fulfill its very purpose, right? Well, now you're going to see him. What Jesus is saying, I'm introducing something new. It's this new covenant he's introducing to them. And here you're going to see him contrast the law with this new thing that he says. So, you have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're a subject to judgment. Now, he's going back to the Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible. He's going back to Deuteronomy, and he's reminding them of the law. The law says, don't murder. But he says, I say to you, yet remember when how people would tell Jesus, you teach with such authority. How do you do this? This is one of these ways as he's teaching with authority. He comes and he says, hey, the law said this, but I say, if you even get angry with somebody, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot or a fool, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. He's saying that all about anger. So let's do this first. Let's make sure that we're clear that not all anger is a sinful type of anger. So what he's not talking about here is what they would call, or what the Bible would even refer to as, a righteous anger. There is such thing as a righteous anger. We know that because the Apostle Paul says, be angry, but don't sin. Be angry, but do not sin. And then we see this lived out in Jesus' life in John chapter 2. And in that passage right there, we see that Jesus walks into the temple. And John records this. And he records a detail that's very fascinating. That it says when he saw the injustice that was happening in the temple, he goes off to the side because Jesus was in control of his anger. He didn't let anger control him. He was in control of his anger. He went off to the side and he takes a rope and he braids the ends of it and turns it into a whip. So that took some time. So he wasn't letting anger control him. He was controlling his anger. And then he goes into the temple and he uses that to chase out these people who are causing an injustice in the temple. They're ripping people off. He flips a table over, knocks everything everywhere, and he has this righteous anger because of this injustice that's happening here. But he's the one in control of his anger. And then in Mark chapter 3, there's this, this is when, again, in the synagogue, at another time, he walks in on the Sabbath day in the synagogue, and there's this man there that has this deformed hand, and Jesus goes to heal him on the Sabbath. But under the law, that was like, you know, their interpretation, their understanding of the law was breaking the law. And Jesus, look what he does in verse 5 in Mark 3. He says he looked around, meaning Jesus. Jesus looked around at them angrily. So we see this emotion again. And he was deeply saddened by their hard hearts because of their misunderstanding of how they're not understanding the law and how they're misinterpreting it and applying it. So we see anger shows up even in the life of Jesus. And so we know that being angry is not a sin. It's what you do with that anger. It's what you do with that anger that can become the sin. There's this thing called biblical anger. It's a God-given energy intended to help us to solve problems. Do you ever see an injustice and you can feel it inside of you? It starts building up and it creates this energy inside of you. I think about human slavery, human trafficking. This to me is like it just boils up within me. And one thing that I love about the Passion Movement that Louis Giglio leads, he goes around the country talking to college-age students and raises awareness about this. And then once a year they have in Atlanta this gathering of thousands of college-age students, and each year they raise millions of dollars from college-age students who are broke, but they raise millions of dollars, it's their parents' money, but they raise millions of dollars, right, to end human slavery. You see what that thing inside of us. I remember a few years ago in Warwick, I became aware of this house that was actually a brothel. And then we became aware, I went to this meeting, and we became aware that they were bringing women from New Jersey, young women from New Jersey who were from other countries, bringing them up in vans at night, in the middle of the night, unloading them into this house. And boy, that got my blood. I was like, what are we going to do? We've got to do something about this. Finally, the police had enough information, and the Warwick police was able to go shut it down and you know, stop that happening. But it happens even here in Rhode Island. You see, and that's a biblical anger that is a God-given anger that's intended to help us to actually solve some problems. So that's not what we're talking about today. What we are talking about, when we go back to our passage, he's saying, you must not murder. He's reminding them of the law, and then he ties that murder in with this anger. He says, really, murder, he's taking a whole new level. He's like, murder, at the root of murder is this anger. Is this premeditated anger. The root of murder is anger. Jesus is getting to a deeper level that the law of Moses actually pointed out to, and it was just being misunderstood. They thought, oh, only if I commit murder. But no, Jesus is saying, no. Where does that come from? It comes from anger. You got to get to the root of the issue, the root, the heart of the problem. And if we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 4, you see this in the very beginning. You have two sons, two of the sons of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. In Genesis chapter 4, it says Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. And this made Cain very angry. So that emotion, he gets that emotion in him, and he looked dejected. So it was obvious that this emotion of anger was moving him in some direction. And God says to him, why are you so angry? Why do you look so dejected? If you will be accepted if you just do what is right. Just get, you know, do offer the right sacrifice. But it goes on, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Now listen, look at the imagery around here. Watch out. Anger. Watch out for anger. Sin is crouching at the door. eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. You see, God says that his anger isn't the problem. It's if you let anger control you. You have to control the anger, and we know that he did not subdue it. And this imagery of, have you ever watched Animal Kingdom or the National Geographic when they do the specials on the lions, right? And their prey and how they crouch down, and sometimes they'll be there for some time. And sometimes it's just a few minutes, a few seconds, but sometimes it's a long period of time until they wait for the right moment, and then that lion pounces upon its prey. And that's the imagery here that God is using, that sin is crouching, that this anger is like that, and it's about ready to jump out if you don't control it. So there's a responsibility that we have. What do we do with that anger that we feel? There are two ways that we see anger show up in our life. Two ways that anger shows up in our life. One way is that when something has been done to us, and we hold on to that, and over a period of time, it just kind of sits there. It kind of simmers. Think of your crock pot. Not the one that burnt down. This is us, okay? This isn't defective, right? So this one, we're talking about the one that just is, you know, is prepared, that great meal. That awesome meal, that one that's going to bring out all, you know, and the longer you let the meat sit in there, the more of the juices that it brings out. I mean, it's just awesome, right? And it simmers there all day long. You put it in the morning, you come home at night, you know, at the end of the day, and it's ready. It's time to eat. It's just simmered all day. This type of anger that we're talking about, this is the one that you let sit there. It goes unresolved. It's from a hurt from your past. It's from something that's been done to you, and you just let it sit there and it simmers. Instead of bringing anything good out, it brings out the worst. And then you know what happens? 9 times out of 10, when it comes out of you, you lash out on the people that you love the most, and it doesn't even have to do anything with where the real root of the hurt came from or the pain. But then there are other people. You're more like, you know, the short fuse person. Anger just comes out of you. You, in fact, some of you would say, I just accepted it. This is who I am. You know, it's in my DNA. I'm Irish and I'm redheaded, so it's just going to happen. So, you have to live with me. You know, that's kind of your attitude. In fact, my freshman year of college, we had this supervisor. In a plastics factory. I worked in a plastics factory my freshman year, and injection molding. And when I was there on the floor, there was this first shift supervisor. He was like the main supervisor. I always worked second shift. But every once in a while, he would cover second shift and be our supervisor. And he was this guy, Mr. Short Fuse. Nobody liked him. Nobody liked being around him. And I would watch him. He could never say anything nice. Nothing. I mean, I would watch him go up to guys' lines and kick their stuff around and, you know, say all kinds of, you know, beep, 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 you can't say. And it was just, I'm like, one day he went off on this guy. He went off on this dude. This guy's like 6'4". And I knew this guy. I knew his past. And I'm like, oh, dear Jesus, this isn't going to be good. Because he didn't leave him alone. He walked away, and he would walk away, and he'd come back and yell at him again and yell at him again. And finally, that simmering, this other guy who was receiving it all, it just all came out, man. And it was bad. I won't tell you what happened. It was just bad. But some of you are like that. You're like that supervisor. You're like, that's just who I am. Accept me for who I am. And let me say this. It doesn't matter where you fall in here, and when anger comes out of you, if I could sit down and talk with you long enough, I guarantee you that it's about hurt people. Even though you may be redheaded and Irish, right? You may have grown up in an environment where it was done unto you, and you thought that was just how you're supposed to live life, but down inside of you, there's a hurt. Your dad or your mom, a grandfather, talked to you like that, and you thought that was the norm of life. And so it just comes out of you, but down deep, it's really a hurt. If you could uncover it, and if we'd be honest about it, And then some of us, the anger that comes out of us is because of a hurt, because hurt people hurt people. And this is why the gospel is so important. This is why the gospel is so life transforming, because freed people free people. Freed people free people. That's what the gospel does. We sang about this gospel truth. The idea that God's grace and His mercy has come and freed us from all of our guilt, from all of our shame. And when that happens in our life, when we experience this freedom that God gives us, then that empowers us to go and free other people. This is why the gospel is transforming. And it transforms us from the inside out. And freed people can free people. And the Apostle Paul even alludes to this in Ephesians chapter 4. Right before this verse, he says, don't be angry. He says, get rid of that anger. Get rid of the harshness. Get rid of those angry words that come out of your mouth. And he says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Watch this. Forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. You see, freed people are able to live like this because we realize that we have been freed. It's something that is supernatural. It's something that happens on the... You can't foster this up. You cannot make this happen in and of yourself. This is something supernatural that only the Holy Spirit of God can do. You may be able to do this once or twice. I'm not saying that. But you cannot live a life. You cannot live a life of freedom until you understand what it means to live in freedom. And when you understand that, then, man, it changes your whole view. It changes your whole view. Hey, listen to me, students, young people. You maybe haven't been hurt yet, right? Maybe you haven't experienced a deep hurt, but this is so important. To understand that when people hurt you, if a teacher lashes out at you, when a teacher embarrasses you in front of your whole class, you don't have to hold on to that for the rest of your life. You know what you can do? You can experience God's forgiveness, and then because of God's forgiveness for you, you can in turn forgive that teacher. Your supervisor, your manager, your boss, he hurt you. You know what? You can live in freedom. From that, if you have experienced the freedom of forgiveness of God in your life, you can in turn live a life of freedom because of what you have experienced. You may be deep in a relationship, and in that relationship, they have hurt you. There's been a deep hurt there. Do you know it's possible to still deepen that relationship, to still continue to resolve the anger that you feel? You need to talk about it. You need to sit them down and make sure they're aware of the hurt. But you can live in freedom and not hold that. Because you know what we do in our relationships? We hold on to that hurt, and then it comes up in all different forms throughout your relationship if you don't deal with it. And so we have to be in relationship, remembering the relationship that we have with God. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 says this. Here is what we're supposed to do. He says, never pay back evil with more evil. When someone unleashes evil on you, he says never. Not sometimes. Not if you're justified. He says never pay back people with more evil. And I know that goes against our culture. I know that goes against the culture that maybe that you grew up in. Because you were like the dude who grew up and said this. Hey, I don't get mad. I just get even. Right? That was you, right? And so here he says, don't do that. Don't live like that. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you're honorable. That's how you're supposed to live your life in the workplace, in your school, in your classroom. He says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. And notice that onus is on you to do that. Now, not all the time does that happen, but he just says, hey, you do what you can do to live in peace with all people. That other part, you know, that's up to them. But you, as long as you're living to live in at peace with all people, if that is possible with you. And then he goes on to say, he says, dear friends, never take revenge. Never take revenge. This is so hard when they have hit you. When they have wronged you, when there's this injustice to you, that is so hard. But he says, leave that righteous anger. Remember we talked about righteous anger? Leave that righteous anger up to God. And then he quotes Deuteronomy. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. See, you can rest at night knowing that you don't have to try and scheme and plan. How are you going to get them back? You don't have to do that because you can go to bed at night saying, God is going to get them. And you know what? God's payment on them, His revenge on them will be much worse than yours could ever be. And you're like, yeah, but it's been years and I haven't seen it yet. They may take their last breath, and it may not be until they take their last breath and they meet God. But either here on this earth or when they meet God face to face, the revenge, the judgment, a righteous judgment for the wrong that has been done to you will be taken. And as Christ followers, we are asked to live our life like this. That's what he tells us to do. And then he said, instead of paying back evil for evil, he says, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. That is so counter to our culture. He says, if they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their head. Now, if this is your motive to bring shame to them, then that voids that, right? So, but what it does, what you're supposed to do is just feed them anyway. Just give them, serve them anyway. No matter, it doesn't sit right with you. So, the question is, will you trust God with the root of the anger that you feel? You know, you may have anger inside of you. And the question is, are you going to trust God with the root of that? Will you trust God with the root of that? Or let me ask this question to you. Will you make it right? And you say, well, what do you mean by make it right? Maybe you're the person where the anger has come out on. Look at our passage. If you're the person where the anger has spewed out, if you're the person where anger has come out of you and you have hurt people in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your home, if that is you, then look what our passage says. It says, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, that somebody else out there has something against you, the onus is on you. It says this, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice. You know why? Because God is much more interested in your obedience to Him than your sacrifice. Here, in context, it's talking about bringing the sacrifice in the temple like they under the old law. But in our context, it's like worship is a 24, 7 days a week, 24 hours. We are to live our life in worship. And here he's pointing out, if you're going to truly live a Christ-following life, if you're truly going to live a life of worship, then the moment that you realize that somebody has something against you, you go to them and you do as much as possible to make it right on your part. All you can do is offer, hey, I know I lashed out at you. I'm sorry. That's what God calls us to do. That's what Jesus here in this passage in Matthew 5 is telling these people, which leads us to our next step. So will you take the connections card out of your bulletin? And the very first next step is this. I'm holding on to anger over something that was done to me in the past. And because of that, it's controlling you. And so you're saying, pray, I will give my anger over to God and be set free. If this is you, we want to pray for you. We want you to live it. We want you to experience life in freedom the way that Christ has meant it to be. And we want you to live in freedom and be set free. And it's going to take that supernatural work of God where you have to let that anger stop controlling you and allow yourself to be set free. Notice the next step there. It says, pray for me. My anger has affected others around me, and I need to make it right with them. Can I, in all honesty, this was a very reflective lesson for me. I had to do some real heart searching in my own life, especially with the people that I love the most. And as I'm reflecting on this, I had to think back and think, have I lashed out? Those times when I have. How have I hurt those people around me? And so I had to go back and just make sure. Make sure that everything was right between me and those people. So I had to have some conversations. I wonder if you need to do that. And you are like, yeah. But we want to pray that you would have the courage. Because I'm telling you, there's nothing like going to bed at night knowing that you're living in freedom and that you have set other people free. Because free people, free people. And then this last one, maybe you're newer to church. Maybe you are new to this whole idea of God and forgiveness. If that is you, this question maybe is for you. It says, I need to be transformed from the inside out and be freed. You might not fully understand all of that, and I get that. It says, I want to understand more of God's grace and how the good news of Jesus Christ can change me. What we're asking you to do there is just to end, if that is you, if this is where you find yourself, we want to have a conversation with you. And so we need you to put your name and your phone number on there, and we want to walk you through so that you can understand, so that you can know that you can live a life of freedom. So that you are going to be able to free other people. And this is really about the gospel. And do you really understand God's grace? Have you experienced His mercy? Have you been set free? Or are you living a life of shame and guilt because you don't understand the freedom that God offers to you? And again, if you would just put your name and your phone number on there, we will call you. And we'll just want to have that conversation with you and kind of see where you're at. As we close, I'm going to pray. But after I pray, we're going to sing this song. Lord, give me your heart. Or how's it go? Where is my helper? What is it? Give my heart?
Yes. Here's my heart.
Here's my heart. Here's my heart. Thank you. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Will you just symbolically, I'm a very tactile, tangible person, concrete, you know. I don't think abstractly very well. But I'm wondering if when we sing that harp, or sing that song about, Lord, give me whatever that phrase is. What's the phrase again? Here's my heart. Here's my heart. Will you symbolically just hold your hands out to God? And will you just say, God, here's my heart. And if you need to be freed, that's what you're saying, or if you need to free somebody else, see, God will give you what you need to do that. So Jesus, we call up on you to work in supernatural ways in our lives, in our hearts, that you would bring about transformation from the inside, and you would work it out, and that Jesus, that there would be evidence of that transforming work in the way that we deal with people, and that we're not going to be harsh with people, that we're not going to live this angry kind of life, that instead of anger controlling us, that we are going to have the power over anger, and we're going to control the anger in our life by your power. And so, Jesus, help us to be people like this and live like this. And Father, we're asking you, Jesus, please make it clear for the person who is here today that needs either to be set free by you. They have never experienced your freedom, your grace, and your mercy that is new every day. They haven't experienced that, Jesus. Would you help them today? May today be a life-defining moment for them. They would be able to be set free so that they could set others free. Jesus, please, we all need this. Will you work in our hearts and our lives as we pray this song back to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with